Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome to Philly Sports Live. Steve Lewis here today, and you know, it's we're kind of that period now. We're a little bit in between, I guess. Not too much going on. We're going to talk some college basketball. Certainly, there's a lot more national stories that are happening at this time. We're all tuned into them, and yeah, other than that, this coaching search, I mean, I don't know necessarily if this is going to be anything really groundbreaking here with this. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's been that interesting, the story. I think the story with this was all the firing. So I still am under the opinion is just, you know, have Shurmur, Staley coach the team and see what happens from there. I just think that, you know, you're not in a situation where you're really going to get anything that's really substantial here. I think you just go with something like that and change the culture. But we'll talk about that. The other thing is, you know, last night the news broke that two NFL teams are leaving their city to go to L.A. Just a story that really bothers me. And, you know, I've just gotten to the point, and I don't know if how anyone else feels about this, but you know, pro football, it disgusts me more than it entertains me these days. And it was a nice wild card weekend, and certainly, you know, there was some real heartbreak in some of those games, but it was enjoyable football. I just, you know, and I don't know if there's any fans of any of those teams listening that would want to call and share their opinions with us, but I just don't know how you can take that. We've never been in a situation as fans in Philadelphia of, you know, threat of one of our team moving far away. There's been some ideas thrown here and there of a team, the Camden or South Jersey with the Sixers. You heard some different things of moving into the Montgomery County. I remember with the Eagles at one point. And then, you know, apparently in the 80s, Leonard Toews has gotten in some trouble. There was some threats. But, I mean, how do you go to bed at night and you find out at, you know, 11 p.m. or whatever it was that your team is moving to Los Angeles, and all that time, all that energy that you've invested into a team, and all that's then being taken away from you just so a billionaire can have a better stadium that he can make more money off of. If that doesn't make you hate pro football, Mike Seca, I don't know. I don't necessarily know what else. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we're coming off an NFL season where a guy who almost murdered somebody got to play for the Dallas Cowboys this year with no jail time. And, you know, right now one of the leading movies in the theaters right now is about a doctor who the NFL tried to sabotage and discredit, who came up with some incredible research to find out how dangerous pro football is, and in which it took pro football a good 15 years to finally come up with some BS settlement they decided on. It still won't really, you know, credit the science there and kind of give credit to the doctor who found out this disease that is very dangerous to these players. And now you have three franchises, two that are definitely leaving, one that's probably going to leave because they don't have a lease now. You know, what kind of taste does this leave in your mouth? I mean, how much more of this can you handle?
Yeah, I mean, with the NFL, I mean, I'm still going to be watching. I mean, I watched all the games this weekend, the four wild card games, and it was actually some of the games are very exciting. But I mean, I think what we just need to realize, Steve, is I mean, it's a business. I mean, it's obviously a business, and I mean, I'm not really sure why a major city like LA didn't have a football team since 1994. I mean, I just don't get that. I mean, looking at LA as like probably a top five city, and they don't they're not one of 32 teams with a pro team. Nonetheless, I mean, you knew this probably was going to happen. It's a shame. It's no different than when Cleveland lost their team to Baltimore. But I mean, the cool thing about that was that Cleveland was able to keep like the logo and the Browns name, and they ended up getting an expansion team a couple of years later. And then you have another kind of major city like St. Louis, and it's unfortunate for them as well. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, it is a business, and it comes down to, these owners like wanting new stadiums, like how many suites they can get, and apparently this new stadium that's going to be built in 2019 or open in 2019 in Inglewood is possibly might even be better than Jerry's World. So it is a business. I mean, and I think we know that obviously it's a $1 billion business, the NFL. But you definitely do have to feel for the fans of St. Louis that they're losing the team. And I mean, maybe hopefully they can get an expansion team maybe down the road.
Yeah, if anyone has a chance, the last week tonight with John Oliver, over the summer, he did a piece that covered this. And, I mean, this wasn't really breaking news in terms of one of these three teams leaving, but just how awful the whole experience is with corporate welfare and stealing money from citizens to give to billionaires to buy these stadiums. Ultimately, they will choose to screw over a fan base just to make more money at any point. And he kind of gave examples of these three teams because it was, you know, almost certain that one or not all of these teams were going to leave their city at this time. But, I mean, honestly, it makes me worry, Zeca. I just don't know what it would be like. What if this was us? Could it be us in someday? In 10 years, Lincoln Financial Field is going to be 21 years old. Does Jeffrey Lurie have the character in him to, say, listen, if Philadelphia with its like horrible public services that it has and its graceful public school service, if they don't give me all of their money to build a Jerry's World or to build a stadium that competes with Inglewood, then I'm going to move the Eagles. I just don't see how you're a fan of another team, how you don't feel the threat that this could happen to you. It really does upset me.
Yeah. I mean, Lincoln Financial Field, I mean, it's still a first-class facility, even though, it will be hitting 20 years soon, believe it or not. And even the Wells Fargo Center, even older than that, which is crazy to think about. But, it's still a first-class facility. I don't see that happening. But, never say never, because, look at this. You got three teams out of the 32 all looking to move. But at the end of the day, you look at the owner, like, look, if we can't get a solid facility in a certain area, we're gonna leave. So that's kind of how the owner stands on it. And again, it is a business. But the one unfortunate thing is obviously the fans. And obviously if that happened here, clearly we would all be devastated. And that's, I think, the one thing that everyone, you got to take a step back. And, probably definitely tough times right now for St. Louis right now.
Yeah, it's almost like all that history that they put together over that period. That was the best – that time in the late 90s, early 2000s, Zach, that was the best time in Rams football history right there. And that's even if you're trying to include what happened when they were previously in L.A., that was still the best time to be a Rams fan. Right now, you have several members of that team who are either in the Hall of Fame or on their way to the Hall of Fame now. It's amazing to think about, you look into, who's going to be on the stage there at Canton in the next couple years. If you're a St. Louis Rams fan, You know, you're going to see Kurt Warner, maybe Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, and Orlando Pace up there to be put into the Hall of Fame as a St. Louis Ram who no longer has a team. That whole thing just it makes me sick. It really does. You know, we lost the championship game. That, I mean, that was one of the greatest, most memorable NFC title games ever. And you know, that's now going to be a team that doesn't exist anymore. It really blows my mind. It's sickening. It scares me. It's just a string of bad emotions come from that now.
Yeah, and you look at Jeff Fisher, who's the coach of the Rams. I believe this is the second time in his head coaching career that he has to deal with something like this. From when the Houston Oilers went to became the Tennessee Titans, so he had to deal with that. And now, I mean, similar situation, kind of packing up operations and heading to the left coast.
Right. So. Yeah, definitely real disappointing for, you know, fans about that. And, I don't like L.A. I don't like L.A. fans. Like, I imagine the people going to these games would be a bunch of Dodger fan types that, you know, will get there late and leave before the game's over. I don't want to take the time out to, you know, bust those people or whatnot. But everything about this is wrong. And this is going to continue to be a story throughout the winter time here. This kind of stuff will this is going to go on for a while now, probably until that new stadium's built. And it's wrong. It leaves a foul taste in your mouth. And I just, you know, if you're a fan of one of those three teams, particularly St. Louis, all I have to say at this point is I'm sorry. I'm sorry this happened to you, and I can't imagine what that feels like. It keeps just taking me further away from pro football, I feel like. You know, I know me and you are big college football fans, too. And the thing is about your college team is that it can't leave your city. And that to me, is ultimately what, makes me grow more towards, I guess, caring and supporting my college team more than my pro team, because there's never that threat that they're going to break your heart by packing up their bags and leaving town. As long as there's football being played for that university, they're going to be playing at your university. So.
Yeah. But, and again, I mean, I know we do say how this is a business and everything, but I mean, teams moving in pro sports, this has happened over the last several decades. I mean, this isn't anything new. I mean, we're going back from when the A's left here to go to Kansas City and now they're in Oakland. I mean, this has been something that, I mean, has been going on a while. So it's nothing new. And I know I do say it is a business to get these, to get a $1 billion stadium in LA, but I mean, come again, I mean, teams moving from cities. This isn't the first time, though. I mean, it has happened.
Yeah, it definitely has. Well, I'm sure we'll get back into talking that a little bit. Is that, you know, we don't really have too much locally to talk about. I guess we'll stick with football a little bit here. It was a crazy wild card weekend. More heartbreak for Minnesota and Bengal fans. I think that Bengal fans might have wanted to have their team leave town after that game, at least for a few months. Andy Reid picked up his 11th playoff victory. That I thought that was pretty cool. Andy right now, I believe he's like eighth all time amongst head coaches in playoff wins. He's very close to being like one of the only coaches to take two different teams to a Super Bowl. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then you had the national title game, which we could talk a little bit about after that. And I don't know. I mean, what did you think of your you got a big weekend of football here. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did pretty much watch all five of those games this past weekend. the four wild card games, and then the championship game, the college game on Monday night. And I just, I mean, I have a lot more intrigue to games when it's like single elimination. I mean, maybe that's why. I mean, I love the NCAA tournament coming up in a couple months, and I definitely still love the NFL playoffs. And then now you got college football with their new playoff system. Like, I'm just, I mean, when you have these big games and it's single elimination, it's not best out of seven. I think it makes for great TV. And I mean, that's why, like, the NFL playoffs, NCAA tournament, now college football, like, I'm going to be always tuning in every year to these, because the single elimination is just like, I mean, I guess you could say it's like a seven game series packed into one. So it's just great. And I still love it. But I mean, looking at those four wild card games, yeah, I mean, Andy Reid gets his gets another playoff win, but with a different organization. Yeah, I mean, that team's playing great football, and that should be an interesting game when they go up to Foxborough to take on New England. I mean, Houston just doesn't have a quarterback, and I think that's obviously a huge problem for that team. I mean, you're throwing Brian Hoyer out there in a playoff game. I mean, probably not going to end too well, and it didn't. I mean, I don't know if you saw the ending of that Steelers-Bengals game, Steve, but, I mean, gosh, I mean, if it wasn't for a couple of thugs that the Bengals have on that team, I mean, that team's moving on. Instead, I mean, they rack up 30 yards of penalties, and then the Steelers end up with a chip shot field goal to win the game. I mean, just a crazy ending, and but apparently still Marvin Lewis's job is safe, but... I mean, that was some kind of game that it's a game the Bengals should have won and they didn't. And then you look, I mean, Minnesota misses the field goal, and then Seattle's still alive. I mean, just, another crazy ending in a playoff game for Seattle. I mean, if you're Minnesota, you gotta be hurting right now if you're a Bengals or Vikings fan. And then, the Packers kind of ran all over Washington, but I think a lot of people did expect that, but Green Bay started to actually look a little bit better in doing so. So, yeah, I mean, just four good games, and I think even this week's games might even be better, Steve.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going into this weekend. I mean, with the Bengals, you know, I mean, so much I look at that, the Jeremy Hill fumble and you know what was called there, the plays and whatnot. I mean, that was just so heartbreaking. And you know, you had Perfect gets called for the penalty. The penalty call was the right call. You know, I don't make too much of what happened there at the end, because you have a Hall of Fame quarterback and the best wide receiver in football, in my opinion. I mean, at least two still in the playoffs, Antonio Brown. You have those two guys on the field there for you with some time left on the clock. Zach, they were going to win that game either way because they got back on the field. At this point, if you don't believe in Ben Roethlisberger and the amazing things that he can do with the ball at the end of the game, I mean, the guy is just one of the best in the business. He's been that way for years. He's won multiple championships. You know, having the ball at the end of the wild card game against Cincinnati, I mean, what the bleep is that to him? It's nothing. He's going to win that game. So, to me, it all came down to the fumble. That game was going to end in Pittsburgh's favor either way. So, I don't really make too much of the thugs. It's disappointing that, you know, you're a fan of that team. 0-7 with Marvin Lewis as your coach in the playoffs. Probably, yeah, it's time for them to make a change, but I just don't know if they like anything that's out there coaching-wise, and, you know, when it comes to the regular season, Marvin does a good job. So, I mean, that's my thoughts on that. In terms of the other games, I'm really excited to see what this Chiefs defense is going to do against Tom Brady. You remember earlier this year, that was Peyton Manning, I believe, his last start before Osweiler ended up taking over, when they just flat-out embarrassed him like they did Brian Hoyer over this weekend. Now they get that opportunity to do this to Tom Brady. This has got to be just the most dangerous defense in the league. They just get so much talent up front and in the secondary. They just have the best pass rush. You have Tom Brady, who many kind of argued shouldn't even be playing this year. He's now, gotten his team into the playoffs. Just like they kind of, we'll see what happens with the Broncos now, but I mean, you can make the argument that game kind of much ended Peyton Manning. He hasn't been anything since. So who knows what this Chiefs defense can do once they get the opportunity to knock out Tom Brady. I would love to see that happen, not only because I'm a fan of Andy Reid, just because it would be great with everything that's going on here in the NFL. It would be great to see Reid hand that to Belichick and hand that to Tom Brady. And, you know, as a fan of having to watch Tom Brady and Belichick in the playoffs every year, I'm just sick of it. I'm ready for those guys to either retire or to be washed up. I don't want to see another Patriots Super Bowl. So I would love to see what they did to Peyton Manning earlier this year and Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with you, Steve. I certainly would like Kansas City to win the whole thing. They're playing great football right now, long winning streak going on. So it should be interesting. I mean, New England's got a lot of problems on the offensive line. I'm sure they'll get them all together come Saturday, though, because it's playoff time. But, I'd love to see Kansas City pull off the win there. But just some really good games. The road team for the first time ever, I mean, went 4-0 in wild card weekend. And we talked about that last week, I personally thought this was some of the best wild card teams that we've ever seen. And that turned out to be the case. I mean, the road team going 4-0 this past weekend, but just some really good games. I mean, New England, Kansas City, although not a lot of people expect Green Bay to go into Arizona and win, I mean, you still can't count out Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you just can't.
Yeah.
I know Arizona really beat them down a few weeks ago out in the desert, but I mean, you can't count out Aaron Rodgers. You just can't. I think Carolina, Seattle might be the best game of them all. Granted, it might be a 12-9 game, but, that game could go either way. And then I think same could be said for Pittsburgh-Denver, too. I mean, the six seeds, I think, are very dangerous. And the fact that, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh escaping out of Cincinnati with the win and Seattle escaping Minnesota with the win, those six seeds are some of the most dangerous six seeds we've ever seen. And I can certainly see Seattle beating Carolina, and I definitely could see Pittsburgh beating Denver with their quarterback issues. So this is really, the quarterfinal round. These should be some really good games this week. I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's interesting about, Pittsburgh-Denver in particular. I mean, those are two teams that played each other just a few weeks ago. And that was a must win for Pittsburgh. If they were going to make the playoffs, they were going to have to win that game, and they did. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of, revenge, I guess, in some of those games. And then, the same thing is the way that Arizona had, you'd mentioned, kind of embarrassed the Packers just a few weeks ago. That resurfaces again, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely good stuff. So I'm certainly looking forward to another good weekend of football. And I guess moving on, Steve, about 6 minutes left in the show, maybe finish with some college football, college basketball to wrap it up. I don't know if you stayed up. It is unfortunate that, I mean, you got the biggest game in college football season, and it doesn't end until after midnight on a Monday. But that's how they've been doing it for a while now with the Monday nights. It is unfortunate for those that didn't get to see it, but you look, Steve, I mean, it's a 14-14 game at halftime. I'm not going to bed. I mean, I know I had my day job the next day, but I mean, I stayed up, and what a heck of a game. I mean, it really was. I mean, I know a lot of people thought Alabama was going to run all over Clemson. Not the case. I mean, 45-40, Clemson definitely hung, and they, I mean, a few plays here and there, and they win the game. Just an outstanding game. And the thing that's clear, it was definitely the two best teams in the country.
Yeah, that was absolutely the case. And, you know what, I think that Clemson has the best chance of getting back there next year. So if you're a Clemson fan now, I wouldn't be too discouraged. man, I mean, there was one thing I took away from that game is that line that Alabama has is just unbelievable. And I think that Derrick Henry is a great running back. You know, I love the picture that they showed this week with him standing next to Mark Ingram. You just see like the size difference there. And Mark Ingram was a great player for Alabama too. But the holes that they were giving him to run through throughout that game. I mean, were just unbelievable. And so I just felt that, you know, Alabama, just because of how dominant their line is, and I mean you're playing number one in the country and you're still able to do that. I mean, they're just a better team, but yeah, definitely wouldn't be discouraged. Clemson they'll be back next year, because it doesn't seem like they're graduating that many people, so they'll probably be back.
Yeah, I mean, you got Deshaun Watson will be back. I mean he's pretty much going to be one of the faces of college football next year. Probably him and Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. So yeah, I mean, Clemson will definitely be expected to have another big time year next year. But yeah, I mean, 2 years into this college football playoff, I mean, what do you like it so far? I mean, you had Ohio State winning last year, Alabama this year. I mean, still the name brand schools are winning these things, but I know personally, I think it's great, and I think it is going to be a time soon where it probably will go to 8 teams, I bet.
Yeah, no, it's a big improvement. I mean, I think that, you know, it's so hard when you have so many great teams every year to pick two, you know, out of the computer rating to see who's best. I mean, it needs to be at least 4. I would love to see it 6 or 8 because, you know, there is going to be a scenario someday where you are going to have a smaller conference team be undefeated and never get a chance to play for something. I think that if you never lose a game during your season, you have you do deserve to have the opportunity to, you know, play a game in which you can compete for a national championship. And, you know, some of the smaller schools or the schools that are, you know, in a smaller conference, that's just not going to happen for. So, I think that it's a great thing, and expanding it will just make it even all the more awesome. And I don't know if necessarily if the days in which they have the games on, I don't think that New Year's Eve is a great time to have those games being played. But, you know, if you're a fan of that school, you went to that school, you're watching that freaking game either way. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, if you went to, Alabama, you're watching the game at that time. You don't care that, you know, where you're at. It's 10:30 at night on New Year's Eve. That football game is more important. So I definitely think that it was the best thing to do, and it's been great so far.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, if you're a college football fan, those games are going to be on in your house, and I think it is scheduled for New Year's Eve again next year. If they do go to 8 teams, obviously it's probably going to be tough, I mean, to do these things on weekends competing with the NFL playoffs, but, I mean, if they do go into 8 teams, I mean, you probably would give yourself enough time where you could hypothetically, the Saturday before the NFL Conference Championships, where you actually have a Saturday open. So that could be a possibility, I think, if they do go to 18, because then you'll have a week longer. And, I mean, that would set up for a great weekend of football if you had the college championship on that Saturday and then the next day have the NFC and AFC championship game. So maybe down the road. But, yeah, it is unfortunate. But, I mean, obviously one college championship a year, so I obviously stayed up for it. And, yeah, I mean, it should be an interesting story to follow if they do eventually go to 8 teams. And I think they will because, I mean, more playoff games, more money. So just like the NFL, it is a business. So I think they will go to 8 teams at some point.
Oh, yeah, they'll go to 18. And then Goodell will probably put something together where 20 teams make the playoffs. You know, the Bengals still won't win a playoff game in that scenario either. And what will happen is all of those other games will be played in Japan and China and London. It's probably where, like, our team will get moved at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hell, I mean, why don't you, I mean, with the NFL, 32 teams, just make a 32-team bracket. have every team make it like Little League.
Yeah, that'll be great. You might need to find some Little League players to suit up for them. I mean, that's just the thing, too, is that, you know, you can get away with doing this in college, adding, like, another playoff game, is because, you know, the teams are only playing 12 at most. I mean, before you get into a postseason there, it's just too much for pro football players to handle. Plus, they're doing double the work. So, and, you know, like
I mean, you look at Clemson and Alabama. I mean, that was both their 15th game of the season. I mean, you go to 8 teams. I mean, you're looking at 16 games actually. But I mean, if that is the case, I mean, if they do go to 8 teams, I could see possibly eliminating the conference championship games, which I would be okay with. So that would maybe be a possibility as well. But I mean, hey, I mean, you got these college teams up to a record amount of games at 15.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, actually, you made there, though, with the conference championship games, because, I often felt like for years that SEC title game almost served as, like, a semifinal. And so if you do have the opportunity to eliminate that one and maybe have, a two-conference game like it had come out to replace that, that would be a good idea. And then you would free up another weekend, too, which you could have a playoff game. So that would worry. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, you could just eliminate the conference title games and go with, like, the regular season champions going to the playoffs. But I'm sure, I mean, it's baby steps with college football. So the fact that they got out of the BCS to a four-team playoff is a good thing, and I'm sure it will go in a direction at some point where it will go to 8 teams. But hell, I mean, you had Temple playing 14 games this year.
Yeah.
So, but all right, well, I think that's about it for the programming. We'll definitely get into some college basketball in the coming weeks, I'm sure, probably as early as next week.
I planned on that being the case today, but just we got a little carried away with some other stuff.
Yeah. So we'll definitely get to that as March Madness quickly approaches. But we should have just changed the show name to National Sports Talk Live with what we covered today.
All right. Well, you just thank the Philadelphia Flyers for that, and go Ghost Bear.
Yeah. Well, good being with you, buddy, and we'll get back at it next week. Thanks, everyone.